Hi, y'all. My name is Grace Tyson, and I graduated from Hope College in 2014. I know, right? I'm like, this is weird being back. I don't know if I know many people. You get old. But I now live in Nashville, Tennessee, and run a nonprofit called Songs Against Slavery, and we put on benefit concerts around the U.S. to fight sex trafficking. And so tonight, we have a benefit concert here at 7 p.m., all of those incredible musicians you saw up here, Daniel Branch, Alex Riddell, Michael Brooks, they are part of the Moran Park crew. Alex and I came up from Nashville together. We're all Hope alum, so we'd love to have you come out. But there's the details. I am not here to tell the story about Songs Against Slavery. I am here to talk about how I had to learn to find true hope in Jesus in the midst of excruciating physical, emotional, and spiritual pain over the last 5 years. My first 2 years at Hope, I sat in those pews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, rarely ever missed a chapel. I grew up in a wonderful Christian family, and I've known Jesus my whole life, but a lot of my knowing Jesus was directly tied to perfectionism, doing good works, getting good grades, being kind to everyone, going on a million coffee dates. And I was very naive to suffering, both spiritually, emotionally, and physically. That all changed in 2012. At the start of my junior year here, it was a day after my 22nd birthday, September 19th, I woke up with a really weird lower back pain. And over the course of the year, this back pain just progressively got worse. And so MRI showed that I had a herniated disc in my L4, L5. But because I was 22 and I wasn't having classic herniated disc symptoms, my surgeon said, I don't want to operate on you. Go try everything else and come back to me if it doesn't get better. So for an entire year, it was full of doctor's appointments, nerve injections, spinal injections, pain meds, PT, spinal headaches. It was endless doctors, and not all the doctors could agree as to what it was, what was happening. And so the pain just kept getting worse that year. And so December of my senior year at Hope, I went home to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I had my first back surgery where they fused my L4, L5 together from the front. And everybody told me it would be a year and a half before I would be pain-free. Just keep hoping, just keep praying. So that's what I did. Do you know how many times people prayed over me and said to not lose hope, and that it would all work out? After this surgery, for the next 3 years, chronic pain raged through my body. Doctors couldn't figure out why, and I had sciatic nerve pain down both legs for 3 years, and I rarely slept. How many times I suppressed my anger, sadness, disappointment, fear, and grief because I didn't want to look like a bad Christian. In my head, it was either grief or God, sadness or God, disappointment or God. I didn't know that you were allowed to have both. And so in 2016, my co-founder of Songs Against Slavery, Lauren, and I moved to Nashville a year before. And that summer, for 4 weeks straight, I cried and had no idea why. My body was raging with pain. And because doctors couldn't figure out what was going on, I felt crazy in my head. And I was so out of touch with my emotions and my heart that most days I felt like I was just going through the motions. I remember having a pivotal conversation with my family. I came home that summer and I sat down and just bawled and said, I don't know how much longer I can do this. I feel like I'm fighting 10 times harder than the next person my age just to make it through a day. And if I was being completely honest, I had no idea where Jesus was at in the process. I want to read for you Mark 14, 32 through 42 from The Message. They came to an area called Gethsemane. Jesus told his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him. He plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. He told them, I feel bad enough right now to die. Stay here and keep vigil with me. Going a little ahead, he fell to the ground and prayed for a way out. Papa, Father, you can't you get me out of this? Take this cup away from me, but please, not what I want. What do you want? He came back and found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, you went to sleep on me? Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert, be in prayer, so you don't enter the danger zone without even knowing it. Don't be naive. Part of you is eager, ready for anything in God, but another part of you is as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. He then went back and prayed the same prayer. Returning, he again found them sound asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't have a plausible excuse. He came back a third time and said, "Are you going to sleep all night? No, you've slept long enough. Time's up. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's get going. My betrayer has arrived." This passage changed my entire life. It gave me a truth that I needed to have as my foundation to learn how to start healing from all that I'd been through. You guys, this passage shows us that Jesus grieved. He said, "I feel bad enough right now to die. Stay with me, friends." He felt the full weight of what was going on, and he gave us in that moment full permission to fall on our face and not be okay. He gave us full permission to feel sorrow, grief, and disappointment with our Father. He said, "Father, there has to be another way." One of my favorite worship leaders, Melissa Helser, she said, "Do you know why I believe Jesus was able to feel full emotion and not sin? Because he never let the weight of betrayal or his emotions separate him from the Father." That's a strong, confident-rooted Jesus. That isn't a weak, wishy-washy Jesus. I had to learn that my battle wasn't against chronic pain. It was learning how to keep my heart soft in the process. And to keep your heart soft in the process, you have to let the Father into all areas of it, because that's where he lives. Here's truth number two that I had to learn first to feel safe to grieve with God. John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I had to learn that pain, death, sickness, these are not from God. There is a devil, and he is real, and he wants nothing more than to destroy our lives, especially as passionate Christ followers. I don't know what pain or suffering you guys are going through today, but I'm here to tell you, we serve a God who sent his Son to die on a cross so that we could have eternal hope and an eternal life. And I believe that the Father got on his hands and knees and wept with his Son when he was grieving, because he too wished there was another way. He knew this wasn't the way that Eden was supposed to turn out. I believe that full trust with our Father, it comes when we can get real with him. But you cannot go to full emotion in your heart until you know that God is good, God is kind, and God is for you. Both David and Jesus were examples of raw and complete honesty with the Lord. They knew their circumstances didn't change God's kindness or love for them. Why? Because they spent years questioning, singing, listening, and just being with the Father. No matter what suffering came knocking at their door, they knew a heart connected to his perfect love was the only way to survive. And this was something hard for me to learn. They didn't let their circumstance lower their theology of who God is. This past December, I found out that my first surgery was actually a failed back surgery. And my nerves in my back were so damaged that I ended up having to go through a second major back surgery in March. I now call myself the Walking Tin Woman. But do you know what the difference was between surgery one and surgery two, other than 3 years? I learned in the midst of pain how to grieve and be honest with the Lord. I didn't try to stuff my feelings down. For an entire month after my first surgery, asked my family, I bawled every single night. I sobbed because I literally felt as if my heart was being crushed by the weight of the pain and medical trauma I had gone through over the last 5 years. And I had said I would never go through another back surgery again after that first one because it was such a horrible experience, and yet here we were. I was so scared to wake up every single day to face the pain again. But this time, I let myself feel it. I let myself cry. I let myself wrestle with God. And I cannot even tell you the overwhelming peace that met me in those moments of just complete desperation. It didn't take the pain away, but in my process after surgery, he gave me time and space to grieve the loss of a healthy back and to grieve the years that pain had stolen from me. But he didn't leave me in that place. He reminded me over and over again that he has the final say in my life, not pain. We don't grieve without hope. We don't walk through suffering without hope, and we don't walk through pain without hope. In my 5-year journey with chronic pain, I learned that pain is actually the exact thing that can bind us to Jesus like nothing else in the world, because it reminds us that this world is not our home. We can take comfort in knowing that pain and suffering are the very things Jesus encountered up until his death. so that when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil, because not only do we know that he's with us, he's experienced it all and he's gone through it all. And he holds our hearts so intimately and so gently in the process. Hope College, I truly wish I could stand up here and say that none of you will go through pain and suffering, but I know that some of you have already walked through things, unspeakable things that should never happen to somebody. And for that, I am so sorry. And I'm up here today to give you full permission to question and cry and be angry with the Lord, because he can handle it. If he can handle Jesus' honesty and David's honesty, he can handle yours. But I'm also up here to tell you, you have to listen to what he's going to say next, because I promise you, he's going to meet you with a peace and a truth and a joy that is like nothing else in this world. I want to end with this quick story. The night after my most recent surgery, I was on so many pain meds and coming off heavy anesthesia that my body started to slow down because it wasn't reacting well to all of the drugs. And for the next 8 hours that night, my heart rate monitor kept going off because my breathing was getting so low. And I was in and out of consciousness, and my nurses would keep running in. And all I remember is that there would suddenly be a voice that would say, "Grace, wake up and breathe. Start breathing, Grace." This voice felt very far off, but because I had spent years listening, learning, and talking to this voice, I knew it was a voice that I could trust. And that voice was my dad. And I have to believe, if that's how much my earthly father is with me in my pain and suffering, how much more is our heavenly father with us in our pain and suffering? Let's pray. Jesus, make us a generation that is so rooted in your love, so deeply connected to your heart, that when times of pain and suffering come knocking at our door, we can clearly hear and trust your voice in the process. Help us to be people who do not question your kindness or goodness, but instead ask you to show us your graciousness. Let us be a generation that doesn't just go through the motions of this whole faith thing, but instead is one that falls on our hands and knees because we know that we need you every single day in the good and the bad. Teach us how to not be afraid of our emotions, but learn to embrace them and show us how they can reconnect us back to you. God, I ask that you would show your children here today that their own healing process doesn't have to be scary, but instead true freedom waits on the other side. I pray this in your name. Amen. Go in peace, O God.